Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to Dauber Prospects Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Report 51. I'm Victor Nuno, one of the co-hosts here, and with me is Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Well, I guess I'm all right, Victor, although I'm pretty much out of almost all of my fantasy leagues now. I'm in the playoffs in one, but not in the other three. And one of them I thought I was pretty good in. Turns out, well, I made the playoffs, but I was summarily dismissed in the first round. How about you?
That's disappointing when you think you got a chance and then nope. Oh, yeah, doing pretty well. I'm in the final in three leagues, and then a couple leagues haven't even started their playoffs yet. But the listener league that I'm in a dogfight with Wayne's World. I thought this would be tough, and we're exactly tied right now, 5-5-1. But we hold the tiebreaker, so if I can just eke out a tie, we'll win. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But also, Pete, not just you and me, we got Evan here too. He's gonna join the show and chat with us. How you doing, Evan?
Good, man. How are you guys doing? I haven't participated much lately because the NFL season over now. I'm glad to be back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, you got any leagues back, going maybe. Still?
No. It was a rough year for me in a fantasy there, you know, in the listener league. I kind of finished in the middle of the pack and got whooped up in the first round.
I had about the same results in my listener league. Toronto St. Pat's just kind of like they're washing their hands. That was easy. Next round.
Yeah. So
good job, St. Pat's. But speaking of playoffs, let's talk about some playoffs.
That's right. We're going to talk about some prospects in the playoffs right now. We're going to do the OHL, WHL. Sorry, Q, maybe next year, but the other third one we'll do is NCAA. There just wasn't really anyone. I looked at the queue. There just wasn't really anyone that interesting. And we'll try to talk about some players that maybe we haven't talked as much about, except for Evan. We'll try to talk about some players that we haven't mentioned as frequently. But Evan has to talk about Nate Danielson. It just has to happen.
Danielson!
We are also, this episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet for more great hockey podcasts. You can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. More on that in a bit. And we're also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play. Completely customizable from however you want to set up your league, scoring categories, an amazing draft room to host a draft, draft pick trading, and a treasury option, plus so much more. Use our promo code to sign up for a free league using the link fantrax.com/DPR show. And I think, Pete, we're going to start with you and the OHL. What do you got?
Yeah, all right. So, you know, we talked a lot about the OHL recently. In recent episodes, we covered off some of the top teams. You can see Report 47 for some takes on London Knights and Ottawa 67's players. And Report 42, we talked Saginaw Spirit. After I watched those games live, got some eye test versus analytics and covered the top prospects from those teams. And in the last episode, I snuck in a couple North Bay Battalion players. So you can catch that on the last episode, episode 50. And they're going to be playing the Kingston Frontenacs in the first round. That was just settled last night. It's Monday the 25th as we're recording. So I'll be getting a couple more views of some North Bay players. So maybe we'll be able to have an opportunity to talk about that later on. We'll see. So I'm going to stick to, like Victor said, some guys we haven't talked about. So starting with the Sudbury Wolves, the top line there of David Goyette, Quinton Musty, and Dalibor Dvorsky are really stirring the drink for them. They're going to be make or break for the Wolves in the playoffs. They're riding that train hard. So looking at that top pairing there with David Goyette and Quinton Musty, these are two really fantasy relevant players. So Goyette is a Seattle Kraken draft choice. He's 10% Fantrax rostered, since we're sponsored by Fantrax. We'll slip that in there. Kraken drafted him in 2022 in the second round, 51st overall. He's a little smaller, 5'11", 174, but he is only 19 years old still, so could still beef up a little bit. He's leading the OHL in scoring. He's got 112 points in 66 games. I think he managed to play one more game after I did my homework for this episode, but still leading the league in scoring. And our Dauber Prospects organizational rankings that'll be coming out in a little while once I figure out what we're doing with it, I ranked him the sixth best prospect. And in the consensus overall rankings, he came in at 5.6. So not a lot of love for David Goyette there. If you look at his hockey prospecting model, as Victor likes to do, his star probabilities have gone down a little bit since his draft year, 22% down to 14. But he's projecting the opposite direction for NHL probabilities, about 74% there. So kind of like the way he's trending. I noticed in his draft year, I saw him live a couple of times and I could see the dynamic skill, and I really like that. But it was pretty inconsistent. There were opportunities where, you know, I saw him have a 3-point game live once, and then there was another game actually during COVID when they had no audience. I was still able to go with credentials. So it was just me and some scouts, and he was invisible that night. He did nothing. So that was weird. So I think this season, you know, it's safe to say that he's, you know, young players struggle with consistency. He's 118 points in 67 games. Seems pretty consistent to me. So that concern has kind of kiboshed a little bit. And he's found some real nice chemistry with San Jose Sharks prospect Quinton Musty. He's 21% Fantrax owned, and he was just drafted in July. First round pick, 23rd overall by the Sharks. So their first round selection. He's got some size. He's 6'2", 201. He's only 18 years old still, too. So plenty of development time there for him to continue to improve and trend up. And he is the OHL point per game leader. Not leading the league in points, but points per game. He's got 98 points in 51 games. And that converts to 1.92 points per game. So almost 2 points a game. Not too shabby last time I checked. And he ranked 3rd overall on the Sharks prospect depth chart in the OR rankings with a score of 7.3. So a lot more love for Musty than there is for Goyette. And looking at his hockey prospecting, Victor, he's trending up hard in star probabilities. He's gone from 19% in his draft year to 45% now. And he's kind of status quo with NHL probability from 60 to 70%. So a slight increase there. He's got some pretty good comps, though. His draft year comps are guys like Sakic, JVR, Gabe Vilardi, and his full comps continue to be Vilardi and Huberto. Nikita Gusev is a fun one, although the goose flamed out. So, you know, I'm a happy drafter of Quinton Musty in one or two of my leagues, and I was really happy to get him very late in the first round or early second round, whatever it was, as well. So he's a guy, left winger. I like his projectability to the NHL. He's got size and fantasy relevance just oozing out. You guys got any thoughts on these two Sudbury players? Any tidbits and nuggets you want to chime in on these guys?
Yeah, sure. I think that whenever you see this kind of production, you always have to ask who is stirring the drink. And I think you laid out some reasons why I'll just not bury the lead. I don't think it's David Goyette that's stirring the drink. I think it's Quinton Musty. Although Goyette's a fine player, and I think he certainly, like, playing with talented players is something that's not necessarily easy for everyone. And Musty, I think, is incredible. And his projectability and his production has just skyrocketed. I really do think that he's the one carrying Goyette along, but Goyette is doing well to you know, keep up with him, which is not necessarily easy. And there's another player on this team that I think is interesting, and that's Dalibor Dvorsky, who I'm actually going to be writing about at AP Ringside pretty soon. But what is interesting is that he doesn't usually play with the other two, right? He's playing apart from them. So if you're wondering, which I was able to look that up on Instat, they generally do not play together. But Musty and Goyette are pretty much attached at the hip, and they're all on the power play. So that all kind of matters a little bit in terms of their production. But I personally think that it's Musty who's driving most of it, and Goyette is a really excellent passer. I don't know if you agree with that, Pete.
Well, I'll have to watch him in the playoffs a little bit more to be able to say that with more confidence. But from what I've seen of Goyette, you know, he's a little he's really skilled, but he's a little slight and easy to push off the puck. But that was when he was 17 and 18. I haven't really seen him this year. I didn't make it to a Sudbury game, so I think they only come through like once, so I missed it. But yeah, he's really skilled. And as he gets a little older and stronger, if he can support that with a pro-level style of game, he should be just fine. But yeah, Musty is the player to watch there for sure. All right, so the next team I want to talk about, also in the West, I did get a chance to see these guys live, though, Kitchener Rangers. They opened the season on fire, if you can remember. They were just torching the league, and they've since kind of cooled off a little bit. They were right at the top of the top 10 CHL standings, so that's across all three leagues at the beginning of the year, and they're not in there now, but they're still obviously a strong contender. And the top player there has got to be Carson Rakoff and defenseman Hunter Bestevich. They're the offensive catalyst and the main players to watch here. So let's talk first about the forward, Carson Rakoff. He's a center. He's 6'2", 194 pounds. So he's got some nice size. He's 10% Fantrax rostered. So plenty of roster ability with this player. Seattle drafted him as well. You know, we always seem to be talking about Seattle draft picks. They know what they're doing. Good scouting staff there, and not just because they come on our podcast. So he was a second round pick, 50th overall by the Kraken. And we ranked him on the OR rankings fourth on the Seattle depth chart with a 5.8 score. That's a pretty mild rating, I would say, for a guy that has some draft pedigree, right? A second round pick. He's got 52 goals this season in his D plus one. He made the Canadian World Junior Championship roster. That's a real nice feather in his cap. And in that tournament, he had 4 points in five games. So it's not like he doesn't have a resume, right? This is a player that more people, I think, should know about than 10% of fantasy rosterers. His combination of size, and he's got a real wicked heavy shot, and he's got a nose for the net, too. That should really carry over well in pro hockey, right? That's a good recipe for a pro hockey player right there. He's got one more year of OHL eligibility, if I did my math correctly. This is a player that, if that's correct, I could see him starting next season, going into training camp, playing some preseason games, and if those go well, maybe getting a cup of coffee in the NHL before he is returned to junior for the balance of the season. And then, you know, Kitchener is probably going to go into full rebuild after this. So he could be looking at a trade around the World Junior time a year or sooner when he gets back. But anyways, that's Carson Rakoff. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. So he has gone pretty parallel from his draft year. His star probabilities have gone from 15 to 20, so a 5% uptick there. And his NHL probabilities have only gone up 15%, from 45 to 60. His comps, Brendan Lemieux, Nathan Bastian, Mike Pekka. Nothing particularly spectacular there. So we're not talking about a player that we're projecting to be an elite forward, but I think a little bit more love than, you know, a 5.8 score on the consensus ranking and a 10% Fantrax rostership. What do you guys think about Rakoff?
Well, I really like Rakoff. I think he's really good. And yeah, I rated him a 6. He was the fourth best Seattle forward. I think he has the chance to be, you know, a top six player, which, you know, isn't necessarily the case for all those guys. I mean, I think Shane Wright will be, but we talked about some other Seattle prospects who have some upside, but I don't know that are as legit. So I think Rakoff, you know, on that Canada team that struggled, he was definitely showing some really good signs there. I thought he was excellent most of the time and has continued to be for Kitchener. So yeah, I think his trajectory looks really, really good. He's just continuing. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like much increasing your star potential 5%, but it's actually really hard to increase it. Most players, by and large, it goes down after year one. So the fact that it didn't go down and in fact went up is actually a pretty big feather in his cap. So yeah, I really like Rakoff.
Yeah, with Beniers and Wright kind of locked in as the one and two center, you know, he could be a third line center. You know, he's got some scoring upside, and if he could play a solid defensive game, or he's looking at converting to the wing or finding himself an opportunity in a different organization, maybe. But anyhow, I think he projects as a fine NHL prospect and one that should certainly be fantasy relevant more than 10%. So his teammate, defenseman Hunter Bestevich, we talked about him on the episode with Brock Otten, and I believe we talked about him as well when Scott Wheeler was on the podcast too, Victor. So what we got here is a right shot defenseman. He's 6'1", 187, and he's 14% Fantrax rostered. So a little bit more love for Brustevich. If anyone isn't familiar with him and wants to look him up on Fantrax to see if they're able to add him, his last name, it's a mouthful, but it's spelt Brzustevicz. Spelt it correctly. So I do have a little bit of concerns about him, and I'd be interesting to hear what you guys have to think about this. If I should put my tinfoil hat on and take my conspiracy theory away. But hear me out. So he was drafted by the Barrie Colts, but he played for the U.S. national development team for 2 years. Typically, players from the national team go to college. That's why they play there, so then they can end up going to college. But instead, his rights were traded from Barrie to Kitchener, and he decided to not go to college and then came to the OHL. Very few, it's not unheard of, but very few players go from the NTDB to OHL. And so I'm not sure if he had a problem with Barrie, either the GM or the coach there or the city, and Kitchener was a more favorable destination, or if he had friends or family there, maybe. I don't know. But that's the thing. So then, you know, he played his draft year in the OHL and was a Flames draft pick in the third round. And they traded him just recently in the Elias Lindholm trade to Vancouver. And on the Merrick and Friedman, it was either the 32 Thoughts or the Merrick radio show. I listened to them both, and they're basically the same thing. Merrick mentioned that the Flames expected to sign Brustevich, like, right away. Like, they had a deal worked out with him and spoke to his agent or whatever. And then it took weeks or a month, whatever, how long it's been since the Lindholm trade, that they thought that deal was like a done deal when they got him, and it took a while. But he has signed with them, so, you know, whew. Dodged a bullet there, I guess, that they were worried about another Adam Fox situation in Calgary. So, I mean, it's probably nothing. I mean, I have no idea what this kid's character is like. I've seen one interview with him, and he was actually really funny in it and seemed pretty cool and likable. But it does have me curious. Is this a bit of a red flag for you guys at all, or is it like, nah, man, that's just business?
I think it's just business. I was a huge fan of this guy at the beginning of the year, man. He got off to a hot start, and not to mention he's a Michigan boy, so I love him. Loved him anyway. You know, I think when he goes to Calgary, it's going to be a different ball game because, you know, them going through the rebuild, but he's going to be one of their most important prospects defensively. Things are probably going to get rough in Calgary the next couple of years, but he's someone I believe they're counting on, you know, to be one of the younger stars that gets them up and moving again. So I'm a huge fan. I've liked him all year. And when you look at his point totals that he's putting up, there's, you know, there's not much left for him there anyway. So I think he's going to be a big part of the future for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, he was a centerpiece in that trade for sure. That one of the main things that Calgary got in return. And on ice, he's exceptional. You know, he leads the OHL in assists with 79, and he's got 92 points in 67 games. Remember, he's a defenseman. That's pretty exceptional. The last time a defenseman had 90-plus points in the OHL was Ryan Ellis, who had 100, and Zane Parikh this year, I believe. So as he is a late November birthday, meaning he'll probably be in pro hockey next year unless he goes back as an overager, likely cutting his teeth in the American Hockey League. So in our organizational rankings, we got him as the sixth top prospect, tied for fifth, actually, on the Flames depth chart with Samuel Hanzik and Poirier. And if we look at his hockey prospecting, he's actually increased his star probabilities by 10%, going up from 19 to 20. And his NHL probabilities are pretty stagnant from 52 to 58. He's got some pretty decent comparables as well, though. Pavel Minskayev is a nice one. I like that one. Rasmus Sandin, those are his full draft comps. In his draft year, probably, guys, the William Villeneuve and Travis Dermott were, Chris Therrien were some of the good ones there. So, I mean, he's a sublime passer and playmaker. He really reads plays very well, and he's lethal on the power play. Very effective. Victor, do you have any thoughts on either of these two guys?
Yeah, well, I did write about Brustevich back in January as for EP Ringside, and one of the things that really kind of stuck with me when I was talking with people about him is the slight concern that he won't be quite as effective when he has less time and space, because one of the things that he does really well is kind of slow things down, as you just said, pick apart the defense. And he's really good at that. If you give him plenty of time and space, he's not the most amazing skater, but he really reads the ice well, and he can, you know, pick defenses apart. But we know that as you go up in levels, there's a lot less opportunity to do that. Not to mention the fact that Kitchener is a really good team. And so he, you know, he has some good teammates and people to work that with. So I think there's a slight concern there that, you know, the scoring that he's doing right now is a bit hot. It's a bit, you know, too much. And he probably is going to not be able to be quite so fantastic, you know, when he moves to the professional ranks. So I think it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, a lot of times with these defensemen, you're thinking like, is this guy who's like a no-brainer top power play, like will run it, you know, like a Minchukov, he can kind of do everything and run the power play. But Brustevich, you know, he's best case scenario is probably like a third pair guy who runs a top power play is most likely. That's the most likely best outcome for him. And the next best outcome is like third pairing second power play, which is not as exciting, but more likely. So I think there's just a little, they need to damper expectations a little bit. Of course, he could, you know, round out the rest of his game and be fantastic, you know, like a Tyson Barrie type. So that's kind of what I think about him. I'm a little more skeptical that his offense isn't going to be quite as remarkable when he comes to the AHL.
Plus, he's a defenseman. So one last guy I want to talk about, I'll make this one quick. I got to move over to the Sioux Greyhounds here and give them some love since they're a contender this year as well. One player that kind of I find interesting that I'll be watching for is Jack Beck. Left wing, right wing, only 1% Fantrax rostered. So what he is a 20-year-old overager drafted back in 2021, sixth round by Calgary. He was never signed by the Flames, so he's become a free agent. He's been a point per game player since his draft year prior to COVID. He was drafted by the 67s in the OHL draft. He played 4 years there. Last year, he scored 53 points in 45 games, and then he had another 12 points in 11 playoff games and a really good playoff run for the 67s. So here's a player who's he's playing for a pro contract here. He's hoping to help take the Sioux deep and get the attention of some scouts and earn himself a contract. The Dauber scouting report on him reads he's an offensively skilled forward who really knows how to find his open teammate on the power play and 5-on-5. He's a fast skater and is known for having some great vision on the ice to see the play develop faster than most. And so he's a long shot to be sure, but for now, I'd say he's only worth keeping an eye on your watch list. He's a little bit underwhelming in terms of size, 5'11", 152. And his point production in the OHL in the last three seasons has been pretty flatlined, right? Like he's not increasing his offensive production year over year, which would indicate that he's a good player, but he's no longer improving or getting any better. So he's good as an OHL player. Is that translatable to professional hockey? I think, you know, we're going to get a good look at him in the playoffs here when the pace picks up. The games become more intense and more meaningful. And then next year, we'll see if he signs either a PTO with someone or an AHL level contract and what he can do with that at a pro level. So I'm saying there's still an outside chance on this player. I know, Victor, you won't have any interest in him because he's 20 years old. And quite frankly, there isn't a whole lot of other interesting players on the Sioux. Bryce McConnell Barker, Real Krutsayev, a Red Wings prospect, Andrew Gibson, and Gavin Hayes. Those are the only NHL drafted players on their roster that are still have their NHL rights owned. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what he does. And hopefully for him, you know, he can make himself a nice little pro career, if not an NHL career. So that's it for the O. Any other final takes on the OHL boys?
Not for me. I'm ready to go to the W.
Let's do it.
Go to the dub.
All right. Well, I knew I was going to get razzed for this anyway, but I'm doing it anyway. So, and wait, Victor, don't disappear because I'm going to need your Danielson. Your Mr. Miyagi impression is way better than mine.
Danielson.
See, that's good. That's quality right there. And that's why people listen to the show.
Danielson.
We all know how my love for Nate Danielson, you know, 6'2" center, drafted 9th overall by Stevie Y, the Detroit Red Wings, in this past draft. And yes, he does have interest on Fantrax. He's 27% rostered. So we, and the reason I know that we've only talked about him twice this year, this season, is because I remember how many times I had to drop those Danielson drops into our timeline for some, you know, comedy that I put into the show. It was pretty certain that he was going to get traded from a less talented Brandon Wheat King team to, you know, going to Portland. You know, they finished second spot in the Western Conference, just 1 point behind the Prince George Cougars, and they're going to host the Victoria Royals on Friday, this Friday. The big trade deadline deal that had him move there, you know, in 26 games with Brandon, he went from 12 goals and 14 assists to 28 games with Portland with 12 goals and 28 assists. So he was playing with better playmakers as with the move to Portland. You know, his first training camp with the Red Wings went really well, and he ended up being one of the last cuts. And you know, he really performed. It got to the point where some people were even suggesting he might make the team, but I didn't really see that coming. Didn't really blow off the doors at the World Juniors. You know, he was in a third line role. I believe he had a goal or two. But, you know, he's going to come to the NHL, and Yzerman's, you know, drafting this guy because he wants his 200-foot game. You know, and the comparisons I've seen, and this would be an awesome comparison, but I don't know yet if I buy it, was the ones I've read were Patrice Bergeron, where, you know, he had limited offensive upside, but was known for his hard work, gritty two-way game. This is also a guy that they've talked about that they, maybe he could be a captain one day down the road, and that he does have that potential and that kind of charisma and attitude that he's a locker room guy, basically. And that's, those are the kind of guys we know that Steve Yzerman likes. I'm a big fan of this guy. I think this will be obviously his last year in the W, and he will then move on to AHL with the Grand Rapids Griffins. I think I'll see a season with the Griffins from there. But after that, I think he'll be ready in 25-26 to take over possibly a third line center role, depending on what happens with the Red Wings decide to buy out Andrew Kopp or not. But I'm a fan. I think we've all discussed on this show before that, you know, he was probably one of the biggest surprises in the first round going at 9th overall. Not a lot of people thought he should go that high. So, you know, again, Yzerman's someone who does not care what other people think. So when he sees something in a player, he's going to go get him. So I'm interested to see what he'll do. You know, hopefully he has a big playoffs there for Portland. And yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with this guy. And I definitely tried to get him in our keeper league. But of course, we have some Red Wings honks in there that just like gobbled up everyone and then dangled them to me in trade discussions for some of my best players. So I don't know, Pete, what do you think about Nate Danielson?
Well, I think a lot of people have a negative opinion about him because he was a bit of a reach when Detroit drafted, right? But that doesn't mean that he's not a good player. Just because he was drafted, 9th overall, doesn't mean he's not worth being drafted 15th overall. It doesn't mean he's a third round pick, right? It's kind of the same thing with Rheinbacher, where he's getting a bit of a bad rep based on where he was drafted. That's got nothing to do with anything he's done or how he's played. And I liked what I saw from Danielson with Canada at the World Juniors as well. So that's kind of helped change my recency bias on him as well a little bit. So, you know, I got time for this player. I'm not sure that his fantasy upside is as high as his NHL real life upside is, that those two things are a little askew in the wrong direction as a fantasy guy. But despite that, he's still very fantasy relevant.
That's the concern with him, is that there isn't as much offense, even if he's pretty NHL likely. And he's also, because of his birth date, he could go to the AHL next season. They could put him there as early as, I don't know that they will do that, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I do think, as Pete said, probably, you know, we've been saying this all along, better real life player probably than in fantasy, but just super likely to be in the NHL. So if that matters in your league, then
I've made comparisons before to him on this show that my hope for him is he turns out to be like a Ryan O'Reilly type player. You know, great character guy who could be a captain, but he's not going to blow you through the door with the scoring and offense. But he's going to be a glue guy, a depth scorer, and you know, a locker room leader.
All right. Yeah, definitely. I do think that's probably a decent comp in terms of limited offense, but just a really dependable player that can play just about anywhere in your lineup.
All right, so let's move along to my next guy, and this is a guy I wanted to talk about because I did watch him play at Ducks camp this past season, last summer. Igor Sidorov. He's a winger for the Saskatoon Blades. He was drafted 6 foot, 182-pound winger, 2023 third-round pick of the Ducks. He is not as has as much steam on Fantrax. He's only 4% Fantrax rostered, and he and the Saskatoon Blades will be playing the 8-seed Prince Albert Raiders this weekend. Or actually, I think they play Thursday. And the Saskatoon's really had their way with them this season. Sidorov was someone that really stood out to me at Ducks camp, and I know I mentioned the three guys that really stood out for me there were this past summer was Mintikov, Rodwin Dionicio, and Sidorov. Leo Carlson was there, but he really kind of just didn't really look like he was giving it a full go. But Sidorov, and I put a comparison in here just from the eye test, but he reminded me of a Slava Kozlov type player. And I know you guys remember Slava Kozlov. I don't think he's an exceptionally good skater, but he's a sniper. And, you know, he had 50 goals this year already in the WHL, or 50 goals this season, which I think ranks him fifth leading goal scorer in the WHL. And so his draft year, he had 40 goals, 36 assists, and 53 games with Saskatoon. Followed it up this year with those 50 that I just mentioned and 38 assists in 66 games. So this is a guy that I think is a really good sleeper pick at this point. He's someone I would probably want to grab. Like, I'm not sure where he went in our draft, but I want to say it was probably seventh round, I remember, because I did want to get hands on this guy. He's got filthy hands and he's got offensive instincts, but defensively, it doesn't look like he's one of those guys that's not going to come back and play that kind of defense. But we all know how valuable goal scoring is. Again, you know, elite stick handling abilities. Dauber had his NHL certainty at 60%, and I'm not going to go with the PNHLE because I'm not sure if that one is updated at the moment. Like, have you guys ever had a chance to watch Igor Sidorov? Neither of you?
No, not really. But I can tell you that his PNHLE is actually similar to Danielson's. It's 58.
58. There you go. Yeah, I really, like I said, again, he really stood out for me at camp. This guy's got some moves. I actually got some videos. Maybe I'll post them on Twitter later this week. But I really liked him. Really liked what I saw. I mean, he's probably at least 2-3 years away. You know, he'll probably be in San Diego next year. But he's a guy I think that could possibly hit. You know, it's again, he has high end talent, but one of the things he'll have to work on at the NHL level is to get, you know, his skating back a little bit better. Having said that, I'll move along to everyone's favorite, Braden Jagerbombs. That's what I call him, from the Moose Jaw Warriors. He was drafted by the Penguins last year, 14th overall, 5'11", 166 pounds. That's a little small. He's definitely going to have to hit the weight room. But he's no secret to scouts. You know, he's also a offensively gifted forward, and he's arguably Pittsburgh's top prospect, although that doesn't say much with their organization right now. But with Owen Pickering, I was going to say that he was the other one. He is 23% Fantrax rostered, 28 goals and 50 assists during his draft year. And then this season, he's at 35 goals and 59 assists for 94 points. So he played for Team Canada in the World Juniors with 2 goals and 3 assists in 5 games. And he did get to see some time on the top line with Macklin Celebrini, where they showed some decent chemistry. Again, excellent shot, very quick release. And that's going to be the number one go-to tool in his tool bag. But the Dauber NHL certainty is 8, says he has first line potential. Some of the comparisons I have seen, the one that stood out to me the most is Mike Hoffman. Not the bad Mike Hoffman of now, but the earlier good Mike Hoffman, who did hit over 30 goals a few times. What do you guys think about Braden Jaeger? I know you guys both know about his offensive game.
Yeah, so he was my top ranked prospect for Pittsburgh in the OR rankings, and I think I scored him a 7, and his overall was top prospect there as well at 7.4. Great prospects. I think there's a lot of offensive upside here, and great situation for him too in Pittsburgh, right? Like, what's his prospect competition? Pretty non-existent at his level in that organization. Now, they made that trade with Carolina that bolstered their depth a little bit, But those guys are all B prospects, and Jágr's an A, right? So I don't really think that, unless he regresses and those guys, one of those guys really takes off, he's still by far and away the best prospect in Pittsburgh's organization, in my opinion.
Is he playing in the NHL next year?
No. Well, I don't think there's any sense to rush him. I would certainly, if I was Pittsburgh, I would want to see him develop a season in the American Hockey League.
He's not eligible for. So he has to do one more year of junior or be in the NHL. So, yeah, no, I don't think so. It's going to be really interesting to see what Pittsburgh does this offseason, because they kind of thought they were running it back and be in the playoffs, and they're clearly bad. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to try and push their chips in again. It seems like they probably will, but I don't know how much different it can be with the surrounding cast that they have around Sid. So, yeah, but I don't think Jágr is going to be ready. But yeah, he clearly is really good, and he's on a good trajectory. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, they're going to need a lot more than him to emerge from a rebuild in several years. So I wonder if they don't, you know, just trade him to extend their window that seems like it's closed. I don't know. It'll be very interesting. But he's a great player, definitely a high end, as Pete said, a prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be part of their rebuild if they do decide to keep him, because they're going to have an ugly long rebuild. This run with Malkin, Crosby, and Letang goes down. So he's definitely a bright part of their future. Very exciting, electric to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours.
Yes, sir. So we're going to do some NCAA talk. And just yesterday, as we're recording this, the NCAA revealed their brackets. So we have Boston College number one, Boston University number two, Denver's three, and Michigan State is four. And then all the other teams get sort of shuffled around those brackets. So we're not going to talk about the amazing BC boys. I mean, there's so many good players there. Will Smith looks remarkable. We've talked a bit about Jack Devine and Maximo Rizzo and Zeev Bouyam in Denver and Lane Hudson and Celebrini at BU. We haven't talked as much about Michigan State, but Lifshunov and Augustine, they just beat Michigan in the big championship. So there's a lot of good players that we're not going to talk about just because we talked about them before. And I was trying to do something a little bit different. So hopefully you appreciate this and aren't just mad at me that we didn't run back the same guys that we've been talking about. But I thought we could talk about some different guys. So the first guy that I want to talk about is Jackson Blake. And Blake is a 2021 fourth round pick by Carolina. He's 5'11", 165 pounds. The reason he dropped is probably because he's a little undersized. He also was drafted out of high school, which is a bit unusual for that trajectory. And he played in the Minnesota high school system, and he's from North Dakota. He now plays for the University of North Dakota, so that's kind of fun. He's 5% rostered on Fantrax, Jackson Blake, so he's available. He also, the other reason he probably fell a little bit is he played in high school and he's a really young birth date. August 3rd means he was just over 2 weeks of being eligible for the 2022 draft, which I think would have really changed his trajectory as he was in the USHL that year. But anyways, we'll talk more recent developments. Playing in North Dakota for a North Dakota kid, that's pretty cool. And ever since he's been in college the last 2 years, he's been well over a point per game. As a freshman, he put up 42 points in 39 games. And now as just a sophomore, albeit a bit of an older sophomore, he has put up 59 points in 39 games. That's just ridiculous. He was also at the USA World Junior Championships last year. He wasn't necessarily in a featured role, but still managed 6 points in 7 games. So North Dakota has a bit of a tough draw as they're in the Michigan State bracket, and their first team that they're playing is Michigan, which is a pretty good team. So they might not last very long in this tournament, but if they happen to beat Michigan, then they get to play what is likely Michigan State, because they will probably beat Western Michigan, although that's not a given. So they're in a tough bracket. But Blake has, you know, because of his his trajectory was a little bit weird. He kind of went down a little bit in his equivalency at hockey prospecting, but he's up to 8% chance of being a star. He doesn't have that many great comps. The one that he kind of looks like in this model is Josh Norris, who's turned out to be pretty good. But that's pretty much it. And then in the PNHL model, though, he's kind of trended up and up and up and up and up. And he's currently has an equivalency above 80, which is kind of absurd and probably unlikely, but still really good. Looking at his Fantasy Hockey Life player card, when you look at the peripheral stats, the shots are really good. Hits and blocks are pretty non-existent. And the goals and assists are just out of this world. So he's basically a points only kind of guy. I went back and watched some of his tape because I hadn't watched that much of Jackson Blake, and holy cow, is he fun to watch. He's really deceptive. He can make just about anyone miss. His skating's pretty good. You know, his mobility is good. He sees the ice really well. He's on a really good team, so it always makes it a little bit hard to gauge, but he is really deceptive and really smart with the puck. And, you know, he kind of drives the net. He gets in really close. So he's not just like a peripheral player scoring from the outside. And he can score in a lot of different ways. So I really like Jackson Blake. He's a strong college player. I think he can translate it to the NHL. Being a fourth round pick, though, you know, doesn't give him like every opportunity imaginable. Plus Carolina having that deep system. But it kind of, I don't know what you guys think about this, but whenever a team with great prospect depth like Carolina doesn't trade a certain player, to me, it kind of makes me feel like they like him more. I mean, I imagine Pittsburgh might have just come in and said, these are the guys we want, and maybe they were okay with it. But I kind of feel like they liked Blake more than Cruz Lucius and, you know, some of the other guys they traded. So that's kind of my sense. I really like him. I would have kept him of all the ones that they traded. So maybe I'm just reading into that too much. What do you think about that, Pete?
Yeah, I agree. I think it says a couple things about the Canes and that they're considering themselves a contender this year, so they're going to go ahead and spend some assets. And they spent a couple of a B prospects, like I said, and cleared out some of their depth. This is an organization that's been really deep for a long time. And you only have so many NHL roster spots, right? So you can't fit all these prospects in. So they were expendable parts. And by expelling them off of the roster, it opens the door a little bit more for the remaining prospects who ideally you think have the higher upside and more potential. So yeah, I think this moves the needle for him for sure in his prospecting outlook at making the NHL and being fantasy relevant.
So yeah, he's widely available. Go get yourself some Jackson Blake, some Balake, if you will. And let's move on to our next guy, Bradley Nadeau. Bradley Nadeau was a first-round pick, so we went from fourth round to first round. Just last year, 2023, he was 30th overall, just at the end of the first round. 5'10", 163-pound winger, 15% rostered on Fantrax. Now, he was drafted out of the BCHL with just, like, video game numbers. It was really kind of absurd how much he was scoring. He had 113 points in 54 games for Penticton of the BCHL. And I know sometimes it's when you see that, you're just like, okay, he's really good in that league that's not so good. We knew he was a goal scorer, but then we wondered, how well can he actually score against tougher competition? Like, I don't know, in the NCAA? Well, it turns out pretty well is the answer to that, because he put up, so far, 46 points in 36 games for Maine, which is not like the biggest NCAA powerhouse by any means. They are in the Denver bracket, by the way. Maine's playing Cornell. And Denver's playing UMass. So if Maine beats Cornell, which I think they have a decent chance to be, I certainly think that could go either way. Then they have to play Denver, who's just absolutely trucking teams this season. So kind of doubt that Maine is going to do that, but you never know. You know, all it takes is a hot goalie and a good goal scorer. Maine has both of those, so it's possible. But anyways, I think that Nadeau has really shown a lot this year. His equivalency has jumped up. I mean, we talked about increasing your star potential, and you know, going up by 5% is actually kind of a lot. Well, he more than doubled his star potential. He went from 19 to 45. That's really impressive. He has a whole lot of players that he looks like in this model. Jerome Iginla is one who he actually looks a little bit better than right now. There's some other guys like Martin Havlat. There's Barrett Hayden, Nick Robertson, a bunch of guys that haven't quite, you know, hit yet. Jimmy Snuggerud's another one. So there's some really good comps there. A lot of them have turned into stars. In the PNHLE model, Mason doesn't have an equivalency for the BCHL, but he does for NCAA. So he's currently looking like about a point per game player. They're just under that in the PNHLE, and some comps of guys like Dylan Larkin. Looking at Nadeau in the fantasy hockey player card, he looks like he actually bashes quite a bit. He hits a fair amount and shoots a fair amount. Actually, he doesn't shoot as much as you would think for a scorer. He seems like he's a little bit more picky, but his shots and hits are still pretty good. So there's some peripheral floor there, which is kind of nice. But his goals and assists are top notch. What I think is most impressive is that he's known for a goal scorer, but he actually has quite a bit more assists, and he tops out as one of the best expected assist guy in the NCAA, and he's known for a goal scorer. So that shows me that he's really kind of rounded out his game quite a bit. So I don't know what the other 85% of people are doing, not rostering Bradley Nadeau, but I think y'all should get on board with that if he's somehow available in your league. I think the upside for him is pretty big. I mean, he has the upside of a top line scoring winger. I don't know that he'll hit that, but he certainly has that upside, which is pretty incredible. And yeah, I like him a lot. Pete, would you get yourself some Bradley Nadeau if you had the chance?
If you're selling, I'm buying.
Let's move on to the last college guy that I'm going to talk about, and that is Gavin Brindley. Brindley was a 2023 second-round pick by CBJ, 34th overall, joining his buddy Adam Fantilli in the organization there of Columbus. They were apparently really good friends. And the reason Brindley even lasted that long is that he's 5'9", and he has not grown. He's still 5'9". He's also really old for this draft class, October 5th. Kind of interesting. Anyways, he's 15% rostered on Fantrax, and he had a really great draft season. He was playing for Michigan during his draft season. He almost had a point per game with 38 points in 41 games. I know a lot of us were like, oh, he's on this stacked Michigan team, which is true, but he still, you know, outscored some other players that were pretty good. He's represented the U.S. twice at the World Juniors, under 20 World Juniors, and he also represented them at the U18. So he's had a lot of international experience. He gets tapped frequently for that, which I think is a good. It's a good sign. He was outstanding at the last World Juniors with Frank Nazar. I mean, that line was like the best line at times for the Americans. He was pretty incredible. And this season, he's had 51 points in 37 games. So that's pretty ridiculous. When you look at the hockey prospecting comps for Gavin Brindley, they're literally all superstars. All of them. Like Jason Arna, David Andrechuk, Matt Duchene, or stars. Stars, if not superstars. And Nico Hischier. The only one who's not is Ryan Leonard, who might or probably will turn into a star, depending on how you look at it. I guess I didn't mention he's more than doubled his star potential too, 25 to 55%. He looks incredible, and just about any model you look at. If you look at the PNHLE, he's looking like a point per game player, and his comps there maybe a little bit more realistic. Nazem Kadri, Dawson Mercer. I could see that. I could see some Dawson Mercer. Just a really good. He seems more like an energy type player, you know, like a middle six, but can score, you know, which is kind of like what Mercer is, I would say. His hockey prospecting card has him like looking like a bash darling. He hits blocks and shots a ton, and his scoring is also good. So he's looking really strong. I mentioned already that he plays for Michigan, and Michigan has that North Dakota draw. So one of those really good teams is going to be out in right away, which is kind of unfortunate. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch him. And I know the size concern, but his game just seems so translatable from his speed and his physicality. Like it doesn't seem to bother him. Like he gets in there, he's got that fight in him, and he makes it count even against the bigger players. I mean, the NCAA is full of pretty big dudes. So it's not like he's playing against like 16-year-olds in the OHL or something like that. So I think there's a little bit more there, but still, I think that's going to be a bit of a issue for him moving forward. I know you have some thoughts on Brindley, Pete.
Yeah, he caught my attention at the World Juniors. He was one of their better players, and that was an all-star team. You know, you don't get to see a lot of college games north of the 49th here. So, you know, I really had my eyes open to just how good he is and how impactful he can be. So, you know, Columbus has got themselves an elite prospect here. I think Columbus is just going to have a quick boo at where he ranked on the OR rankings. Yeah, they're fourth best with just about 7 scoring ahead of Tarasov, Dumais, Carson Kuhlmans, Luka Pen. So he's right up there with Matejczyk, Juracek behind Fantilli. Like, that's a pretty high rank. So he's he's legit. He's a real good player.
Every time I've seen him play with Michigan, he's so noticeable on the ice because of that high motor that you mentioned. And I think he's one of those guys that will defy the size limitation that scouts have probably put on him in the NHL level with his work ethic and that high motor. Be interesting to see if the scoring translate, but he is skilled. But I also see him like in a middle six role and, you know, just a fantastic forechecker, that guy that can provide that energy and boost that a lot of teams will need, you know, during the season. So I think he's going to be an interesting prospect to watch. But yeah, he's a hard worker. It's going to be interesting to see how his career pans out.
Yeah, we're watching a short king right now really work out well, and that is Logan Stankoven. I don't think Gavin Brindley is Logan Stankoven, though. I don't think he's that skilled. I don't think he's that deceptive, but he's got a similar high motor. And you see all the things that Logan Stankoven is doing. I mean, he's like stealing pucks off players. He's, you know, getting turnovers, cleaning up pucks around the net. He's really a smart, good player. And I think Brindley could be, you know, close to that. I don't think he's going to score quite as much. But yeah, I agree with you, Evan. I think the motor, all those things are going to translate really well. The coaches are going to love him because he's always doing the right thing. Always on the right side of the puck, never cheating. So that's going to earn you a lot of ice time.
And he's got NHL speed. So I'm a fan. I'm buying.
All right. I have an idea. Just throwing this out live on the show. Let's do a little Dauber Prospects Report bracket pool, the three of us for the NCAA. What do you say?
I get Michigan because I went there.
Right. We all got to on the spot do at least a first round bracket. Who we think is going to. No, let's go the whole way. So we'll start with Victor, since he did the NCAA report here. So, Victor, between Boston College and Michigan Tech, who do you got?
I mean, BC.
And then Wisconsin, Quinnipiac?
We'll go Quinnipiac.
Michigan State and Western Michigan?
Michigan State.
That's right.
North Dakota and Michigan?
We'll take Michigan.
All right. Evan?
Yep.
Who do you got? Boston College, Michigan Tech.
Mine are very similar to what. Wait, did you say Michigan for the North Dakota one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got Boston College over Michigan Tech. I'll take Quinnipiac over Wisconsin. I'll never bet against my Spartans and they'll win over Western Michigan. And then I like North Dakota over Michigan.
North Dakota.
That's just because you hate Michigan. That's all.
Maybe.
All right, myself, I'll go BC for the champs. Got to go with Quinnipiac. Yeah, Michigan State.
Augustine, baby.
Michigan. All the way. All right, I'm going first on the other conference this time. So we got Denver versus UMass. I will go UMass.
Whoa.
Yep. Then we got Maine and Cornell. I'll take Cornell, and I'll take BU over RT all day, every day, and I'll take Minnesota over Utah. All right, Evan.
UMass? I like Denver over UMass, Maine over Cornell, Boston, and Minnesota.
Okay, Victor.
You said Denver, right, Evan?
Yep.
Yeah, mine are the same. Denver, Maine, Boston, Minnesota.
All right, Evan. So who do you like between Boston College and Quinnipiac?
I just can't. How can you go against that Boston College team? I'm going Boston College. Basically, well, we're picking the Frozen Four here, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Michigan State, North Dakota.
Yeah, that's Michigan State all the way, baby. Trey Augustine. We're going winning it all. And then I want to see Denver and obviously Boston. So, yeah, I'm kind of just going with the high seeds here. It happens more so in hockey than it does in college basketball. I don't know if you guys did any college brackets, but yeah, it happened. So, Victor, what's your Frozen Four?
Yeah, I'm going to go Boston College. I just can't imagine them losing. They have too much firepower. I'm gonna say that Michigan's going to upset State. I think that was an insane big championship, by the way. That was a crazy game, and I do think Trey Augustine is the better goalie that they have. But I think it's hard to beat the same good team twice. So just to be different, I'll say Michigan. And then I'll take Denver over Maine. and Boston over Minnesota.
Pete? Is that Pete writing this down?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a paper and pencil, I'm sure.
You know what? If this wasn't planned out, I didn't have a spreadsheet all worked out, and it's not a lot of writing. So I like Boston University, of course. I'll go UMass and Boston College and Michigan. All right. And then?
So my finals will be Michigan State versus Boston University with my champion. Should I pick my champion?
Yep.
Yeah. Michigan State, of course.
That's my fight song. That's my pick. I'm going green all the way, baby.
Go green, go white, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Victor, who do you got?
Well, BC is going to beat Michigan. And I think Denver is going to beat BU, actually. I think that might be a slight upset, but I think that Denver team is just really good. And so it's going to be Denver and BC in the championship. And it's going to be BC.
I already wrote BC down for you.
Yeah. Will Smith's going to score 47 goals in the championship game.
All right. As much as I would like to see a Boston College, Boston University final, just like a little beanpot rematch there, that would be amazing. I'm definitely going to go with BU, but I'm going to go with Michigan just because I got to be different. And then I can't not choose my Terriers to win the whole shebang, the whole jam banana. All right, so those are our brackets. Some of us are picking with our heads. Some of us are picking with our hearts. We'll see how that works out. Well, I think that's pretty much everything for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Dauber Prospects Report number 51. If you like the show, let us hear about it. You can catch us on X at DPR Show, at Farling, at Victor Nuno 12, and at Sabarin 91. Follow HockeyPodNet for other cool hockey podcast shows. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And while you're doing that, drop 5 stars for us. We'd love it. If you have any ideas for players, topics, scouting reports, any of the such that you want to hear on future episodes, we'd love to know. Reach out to us. Tell us what you want to hear. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Keep your stick on the ice.
Get him a body bag! Yeah!
Let's do that hockey.